As you can tell, looks like we're ready for VBS. You know, you get to see folks in togas this week. That will be interesting. But special thank yous again to Julie and George for heading up the decorating yesterday and for everyone else who came out to help out yesterday. It was a good day's work. It was a good day's work. But that's just the beginning. Because starting tomorrow, as you've already kind of anticipated, kids will be coming in ages 4 through 12, and they will be immersed in our VBS Athens. And that's the whole idea. This VBS is really about immersion into the culture. Quentin finally asked me, he's supposed to be the Apostle Paul. He said, am I supposed to wear a toga? I said, well, yeah. Anyway, so that'll be interesting. I'll have pictures, so you can check them out, okay? This is all about immersion. Paul's Dangerous Journey to Share the Truth is the title of our VBS. I started thinking about that. Paul's dangerous, I could say that word, I know I can. Paul's dangerous journey to share the truth. The truth, you know. So what is truth? Well, of course, Jesus is the truth, right? John 14:6, Jesus is the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. You see, it's true that Jesus is God in the flesh, right? John 1:14, as I'm sure everyone has probably diligently learned next door in Steve's class on Sunday morning. And it's true that Jesus did die for our sins, like where the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, that he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And it is true that Jesus rose from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. And it is true that he's gone to prepare a place for us and will come back again for us, John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. But is it dangerous to share the truth? Well, it could be. Yeah. And we know that it was dangerous for the Apostle Paul. I mean, looking back to when Paul first became a Christian in Acts chapter 9. There, in Acts chapter 9, the Lord explained to us what Paul's life was going to be like. We're told that Paul is to be God's chosen instrument in verse 15. His chosen instrument to carry the name of the Lord before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And the Lord would show Paul how much he must suffer for Jesus. So yeah, it was dangerous. It was dangerous for Paul, but how much danger did Paul face? Well, he gives us a peek into some of what happened to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you'd like to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 29, where we could read a little bit about what Paul says happens to him. He says, I've worked much harder. I've worked much harder. Been in prison more frequently. That sounds like it's dangerous to be in prison. I've been flogged more severely. Been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He doesn't mean San Francisco style. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger. There's that word. From rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Sounds like a dangerous journey. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? So, clearly, the Apostle Paul faced many dangers as he shared the truth about Jesus, as he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah according to the Scriptures, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that Jesus rose after the third day and ascended to heaven according to the Scriptures, and that if anyone believes in Jesus, repents of their sins, and is baptized into Christ, that they would receive the forgiveness of their sins, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and be marked with the seal of redemption for the day when Jesus comes again to take us home to live with Him forever. And what our VBS does this week with the Apostle Paul is that it looks specifically at Paul's second missionary journey from Acts chapter 15 through Acts chapter 18. As Paul travels and he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, putting his life often in danger. And it's from these chapters that our Vacation Bible School examines five main points, one point a day, that all emphasize God's love. And the first day's main point is that God loves us all. In a book called Children's Letters to God, you may have seen these a few years ago in Christian bookstores, a little child by the name of Nan writes, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I could never do it." It is hard to love everybody, isn't it? Well, it's hard for us to love everyone, but God loves everyone. And Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love that's shown to all of us. Not just you and me, but everybody out there too, you know? That's because God loves us all. And the main text for the verse from day one, the main text for the first day comes from Acts chapter 15, verses 35 through Acts chapter 16, verse 5. All right. And it's in this section of text where Barnabas and Paul are in Jerusalem after having visited Christians in Antioch. Those Christians there were rather confused about what they needed to do to be saved. You see, many of the people in the early church were mixing up old covenant beliefs like circumcision with new covenant beliefs taught by Jesus and the apostles like baptism. And so Paul and Barnabas and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. They taught and preached the truth that old covenant signs like circumcision are not needed for salvation. Of course, that brought about some danger because the Jews didn't like hearing that their practices that they had kept for so long, even though they were a burden, were nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. And it's also in this section of text where Paul and Barnabas have a bit of a disagreement. Over whether or not they should take John Mark along with them on their next missionary journey, the second missionary journey. And while we don't know all the reason why Paul and Barnabas part company, Barnabas goes off with Mark to Cyrene, and Paul goes with Silas to Syria. So we don't know all of the reason about what happened with this disagreement, but all we do know for sure is that they did disagree and they separated. Now later, we also know that Barnabas is commended by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And in Mark is commended in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. And so these men of God were not enemies by no means, you see. They were Christians. And we need to remember that too as Christians. We're not enemies, right? And so they forgave each other. And they were good to each other, and they had compassion on each other. And that brings us up to the day's key verse. Each day in the VBS has a key verse. And this day, is the first day, is from Psalm 145, verse 9. And the translation used in the VBS is the New Living Translation. So all the key verses I'm going to quote for you today are from the New Living Translation. So Psalm 145, verse 9 reads this way, "The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation." And so day one is about how God loves us all. The second day's main point is that God loves us and takes care of us. That God loves us and takes care of us. I remember being in a Christian drama group back when I was in Pennsylvania at Northeastern Christian Junior College. And we were called the Ambassadors. And we all had to come up with sort of a tagline or a slogan as to what God meant to us. You know, sort of just an opening thing. And mine was, to me, God is like Folgers coffee because he's the best part of waking up. You know? The girl next to me, it was her turn then, and hers was, to me, God is like Hallmark because he cares enough to send his very best. And on it would go, you know. But you see, God has indeed sent us the very best by sending us Jesus because God loves us and takes care of us. And the main text for the second day, as we progress through the second missionary journey, comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40. You see, it's in this section of text where Paul and Silas are preaching the truth about Jesus when they come upon a fortune teller who was doing her fortune teller thing, being quite bothersome, actually, to Paul and Silas. So Paul cast the fortune-telling spirit from her. But that made the people that she worked for quite upset because they lost their meal ticket, basically, you know. So Paul and Silas were arrested, and they were stripped, and they were beaten, and they were flogged, and they were thrown in prison with their feet in stocks and kept under careful guard. That's dangerous for preaching the truth, you know. Now, if that seems a little odd to some people being in prison for preaching and teaching the truth, there's a lot of things that happen in the world today that are very much like that, you know. Maybe even more odd, if we think that's odd, is when we notice that rather than cry and complain about their situation to God, Paul and Silas instead are praying and singing hymns to God. Now at around midnight, the scripture says, while Paul and Silas are still praying and singing, there's a violent earthquake and things got all shook up. The foundations of the prison were shook and the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains fell off. You see, this shows that God was always aware of what Paul and Silas were experiencing and that God would take care of them and that God will take care of us too. Now, also from our text here in Acts 16, we want to notice the example here that is really the focus of things, and that is Paul and Silas, you remember, are in prison, right? And they're under guard. So what about that guard? Well, you see, under Roman law, that guard there, if he let the prisoners escape, he could be put to death. And so you see the jailer in our text, picking up in verse 27, we'll just read the text, woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. It's not to kill them, but to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in verse 28, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, you and your oikos, your household." Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others inside his house. He taught them the gospel. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family, he and his whole oikos. We'll talk a little bit more about oikos tonight in our Devo at 6. You see, God not only cares for Paul and Silas being chained up in the prison, but God cares for the jailer and his family too. And really, when we think about it, God sent Paul and Silas to the jailer, didn't he? You know, because God cared and wanted the jailer and his oikos, his family, his household to be saved. Well, that brings us up to the second day's key verse, which is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And so day two is about how God loves us and takes care of us. And the third day's main point is that God loves us when others don't. God loves us when others don't. Now, it may come to a surprise to some people, but having a VBS with a Greek theme is rather appealing to me in some ways. Because I'm actually Greek. My last name is not Polish, although it rhymes with Polish. Polis is not Polish, it's Greek. Maybe the reason some people don't notice that I'm Greek was because, hey, my dad was Greek, but my mom was Irish. I'm Irish Greek. Okay. That's an interesting combination. But you see, it's with that in mind, I thought that I'd share with you an old Irish blessing. It goes, may those who love us, love us. And those who don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so we'll know them by their limping. Well, not everyone loves us, okay? That's sort of the way it is. But God loves us when others don't. And the main text for the third day comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And it's in this passage that Paul and Silas are again preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. And this time they're in Thessalonica. And verses 2 and 3 tell us that Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he preached. And from Paul's preaching and teaching of the truth, we're told that many became Christians. So many that the Jews there became jealous. And so they did the thing that any jealous person would do. They got upset, you know, and they got themselves a mob together, you know, and they started a riot. It just went crazy. And this riot mobbed the home where Paul and Silas were staying, the home of a Christian man by the name of Jason. But you see, Paul and Silas weren't there. So instead, they dragged off Jason and some of the other Christians with them, and they had them post bond. Or basically to pay a fine, or promising that they would pay a fine, as it may be, so that they would keep things peaceful, or else they would face consequences and have to pay for whatever damages were incurred or some other legal consequences that would come about if Paul and Silas didn't keep quiet or get out. And from what we could see here in the text, Paul and Silas left town. Still, the church in Thessalonica continued to grow, as we see from Paul's commendations again when he wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. But Paul and Silas did leave after the riot, and they traveled on to Berea. Berea, there you go. Berea's over there. Okay. All right. Traveled on to Berea, about 50 miles away. It's a long auditorium. And again, nothing could stop Paul and Silas from preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. And that brings us up to the third day's key verse, which is from Psalm 118, verse 6. And that says, the Lord is for me, I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And so again, day three is about how God loves us when others don't. And that brings us up to the fourth day. The fourth day's main point is that God loves us and sent his son Jesus. God loves us and sent his son Jesus. Well, it's almost lunchtime, right? Let's see what time we got here. Oop, we got some time. It's not quite noon, all right? We all like buffets, right? Hometown buffets, okay. I don't know. I kind of like Golden Corral, but you like buffets. People like buffets, especially when you're really hungry. And now you're probably more hungry and you're thinking, Chuck, you better keep it up. Anyway. I mean, think about it. You go to a buffet, though. What do you like about a buffet? I like to go to a buffet and, you know, you go there, you get to see all the foods. You walk around and say, well, you know, maybe I'll have some pizza, but maybe I'll have bread instead or maybe some spaghetti over there. And you don't want to, like, make any of the food feel bad or anything. So you take a little bit here and a little bit there. You got to cover all the bases, you know. And if your plate's a little full, you can always go back again, take some from the other side because we don't want to offend those foods at all, you know. And just take a little bit of everything. Of course, after we've sit there and we've eaten maybe our third plate, you know, we've hit the full line now. So we lean back and we loosen up our belts and we realize that our eyes were a lot bigger than our stomachs actually were. But isn't it the way it is today, pretty much? You know, don't we wish that all of our choices were as simple as that? You know, we want to do that with everything. We want to customize everything. Cell phones, cars, whatever. You can go ahead and order anything you want. We want all of our choices to be like the buffet. Maybe eat a bit too much, maybe eat a bit too little, who knows? Think about it, even with our faith. We have brought the same consumer mentality into the Lord's church. I'll say, I have a little bit of this, a little bit of Bible class. I'll just go to worship. That's the part. Communion is the thing. If we just do communion, then everything is good. You know, we just come, take the Lord's Supper, go home. You know, so people today have customized their faith, haven't they? And they've customized their worship to resemble, if you want, lunch at the Golden Corral, rather than what the Bible says we should believe and how the Bible says we should worship the one true God. And after those folks have gone ahead and completed their buffet-style worship, what do? Well, they go ahead and they again loosen their belts, their Bible belts, you know. And then they realize that they took too much of what they really didn't need and not enough of what they really needed, okay? Spiritual food, real nourishing food. Well, the Greeks had this concept down better than anyone else, I think, you know. Speaking as a Greek, I like a good buffet, you know. Anyway, but they were even more specific about what they wanted to do and what they wanted to leave out. They developed a buffet line for their gods, you see. I mean, these guys had gods for everything. You name it, they would worship it. There's a god of the chair, a god of the upholstery, there's a god of the fans, you know. I mean, these guys had gods for everything. As a matter of fact, they were afraid that they might accidentally overlook a god or two, you know, didn't want to offend anybody. So they went ahead and created an altar, if you will. That one's empty. So an altar to an unknown god. There you go. That's our altar, the unknown god, for now. Okay. All right. That's so we can cover all our bases. But the truth is, there's only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am. And God has made himself known to us by coming down to us in the flesh, Matthew 1:23, in order to show us how much he loves us. Again, God loves us and sent us his son, Jesus. And the main text again for the fourth day comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. You see, in Athens, Paul was surrounded everywhere he went by pagan thoughts and practices, very much like we as Christians are today. But for Paul, just mentioning Jesus could possibly put him in more danger. Yet with another angry mob that wanted to take him out and stone him again or something. So why do that when he just escaped one? You know. Still, Paul couldn't keep silent. He knew the truth about God's love and sending Jesus, and he just had to share the truth of God's word with the Athenians. But like we mentioned, Athens was the Mecca, if you will, of Greek philosophy and pagan thought. And here, in our text from Acts 17, Paul comes to a place called the Areopagus. Or if you have a King James version of the Bible, that's Mars Hill. And the Areopagus was pretty much the forum and center of philosophical discussions of the day. And it's there that Paul comes into contact with the two most common types of philosophers of the day. There's the Epicureans and the Stoics. Now, the thing is, the Epicureans and the Stoics had radically different beliefs from each other, and those beliefs themselves were in complete contradiction with Christianity. You see, the Epicureans thought that since man couldn't connect with God at all, that there was no reason to seek any sort of morality or any sort of moral lifestyle. So for them, the highest value in life was pleasure, you know. And therefore, that's the only reason that people exist, to just feel good. The Stoics, on the other hand, well, they were kind of like the Vulcans from Star Trek, you know. Peace, live long and prosper, whatever. These guys taught that emotions were to be denied. Just stone-faced. You know. Go home, look in the mirror. You see that stone-faced? No, no, okay. All emotions were to be denied because emotions would cause conflict. Can't have conflict with anyone seeking moral discipline. You know, can't have that. You know, you just can't smile or laugh about that stuff. And so they believed that logic and reason were the greatest good. And so to them, God was the sum of all that was good, namely logic and reason. Sophia, wisdom, you see in the Greek. Now along comes the Apostle Paul. And Paul could have thumped these guys on the head with the proverbial Bible, or maybe about that time a scroll, you know, nice big scroll, you know. slam them for their pagan beliefs, but that's not what he does. Instead, Paul connects with them on their same philosophical level that they have been conditioned to live by. You got to love Paul's style, you know. You see, what he does is he basically tells these deep thinkers, hey, I know you guys are smart and you love to talk. Well, hey, guess what? I love to talk too. So let's talk about this incredible concept that I've been radically transformed by. I notice that you guys are seeking God. You even have an altar to an unknown God. That's perfect, because guess what? I know who he is. Can I tell you about him? You know? Now, some of these philosophers walked away, but the Bible tells us that many wanted to talk more about Christ. And why? Well, because Paul grabbed their attention. He met them where they were. He met them where they lived, and he thought like they thought. And so he went on through their buffet line, if you will, of beliefs, and he showed them where the real nourishment was. And Paul did this because God loves us and sent his son Jesus. And that brings us up to the fourth day's verse, key verse, which is John 3:16. Now again, this is from the New Living Translation, so Oikos leaders in particular, you need to be careful that you don't mix things up. It's a little bit different, but not that much different. I know this because I struggled in trying to repeat the verse multiple times. John 3:16 reads this way in the NLT, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." It's just the "so" in the beginning that's flipped. Anyway. You know, it's occurred to me in thinking about John chapter 3 in particular, verse 16, that a lot of people look at Christianity as merely avoiding hell rather than gaining eternal life. Follow me for a second here. You see, John 3:16 says that by our faith in God's gift of love, Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Think about it. Christianity is about life. You know, it's about living life now, even while we're surrounded by the dangers of the world and the faithful assurance of God's love. And it's about forever living in God's love in heaven without all those dangers of this world. There'll be peace and joy and happiness, no more sorrow someday. And so day four is about how God loves us and sent his son Jesus. And the fifth day's main point is that God loves us and wants us to share his love. God loves us and wants us to share his love. Of course, in order to share God's love, we need to know God and his love for us. So let me ask you, is this love? A young man wrote to his girlfriend, "Sweetheart, if this world was as hot as the Sahara Desert, I would crawl on my knees through the burning sand to come to you. If the world would be like the Atlantic Ocean, I would swim through the shark-infested waters to come to you. I would fight the most fiercest dragon to be by your side. Oh, by the way, I'll see you Thursday unless it rains." Is that love? What about this one? A woman was bit by a rabid dog, and it looked like she was going to die from rabies. Well, the doctor told her to put her final affairs in order, so the woman took out a pen and paper, and she began writing furiously. In fact, she wrote and she wrote and she wrote and she wrote. Finally, the doctor interrupted her and said, "That sure is a long will you're making there." She snorted, "Will nothing. I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to bite." Is that love? Well, no. You know, clearly these folks haven't got a clue about what God's love is about. Still, God loves us and wants us to share his love. And the main text for the fifth day, the final day, comes from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to go ahead and read that again. This is from the NIV, Acts 18, verses 1 through 5. Bible says, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ." Now, yesterday, we had some tent makers, okay? putting up tents or canopies, as they may be. And here in our text, though, we find out that the Apostle Paul is actually an actual tent maker. All right? And while he's busy doing his tent making, he meets Aquila and Priscilla, who are also tent makers. Okay. For a while, Paul's there making tents. But when Silas and Timothy come up from Macedonia, of course, while he's making tents, he's preaching and teaching God's truth, of course. But when Paul's friends and companions and fellow evangelists come along, Silas and Timothy, when they come up from Macedonia, Paul goes ahead and focuses all of his time on preaching the gospel, because he knew that God loves us all. He loves us all and wants all to share his love with those around us. Wants us all to share his love with those around us. And that brings us up to the day's fifth key verse, or day five's key verse, the fifth one of the week. And that's from John chapter 13, verse 34, from our scripture reading that we read together. Bible says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." Now, not everyone can preach, and not everyone can teach. Not everyone can door knock. Not everyone can have a Bible study. But we can all share God's love in some way, whether it's by praying, whether it's by inviting someone to a Bible study or to worship, or to send someone a card, or to support a missionary, maybe like Paul Reganathan, or maybe just talking to our neighbors. And that takes some time. Ask Jim McPeak about Chuck Highball. It takes a lot of time and prayer and study and patience, lots of patience. You see, we could talk to our neighbors. Doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. So there are many ways that we can share God's love. Of course, we're primarily talking about sharing the love of God through some sort of evangelism, like when Jesus tells us in the passage I know we all know from heart, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, which again is where Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But God's love can also be shared in other ways, you know, like through a touch of kindness, or from a hug or a smile or a kind word to help encourage folks to follow the Lord better. You know, I am excited to do this week's VBS. I'm just not screaming as loud because I'm afraid I'm going to make the speakers go pop. Okay? This text is so rich that we'll be sharing with the kids and with everyone all involved. It's just simply going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to this week as we get to talk about Paul's dangerous journey to share the truth of God's word, the truth that God loves us all, the truth that God loves us and takes care of us, the truth that God loves us when others don't, the truth that God loves us and sent his son Jesus, the truth that God loves us and wants to share his love. And ultimately, again, in sharing God's love, the truth about Jesus going to the cross is shared. And this morning, if there's anyone here who has yet to respond to the truth of God's love and has yet to become a Christian, then you're encouraged today to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, then repenting of your sins to be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. Just like the Bible says in Acts 2:38, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're marked with the seal of redemption, and you get to go home with every other Christian. No more sorrows. Someday will come. Someday will come. And for those of us already Christians, the encouragement today is to share God's love, to encourage others to do the same. Get the word out about the VBS. Let's have a good week together in the Lord. So if there's any reason that anyone needs to come forward during the invitation song, maybe to become a Christian or for prayer or some other need that we might be able to help out with, you're always encouraged to do that as together we stand and sing.